Hello!
You there! Welcome to another episode of A Spoonful of Theatre.
I'm TJ, theatre practitioner, director and performer.
And I'm Sam, a teacher of language, literature and self-proclaimed show business lovey.
This is our podcast where we spill the tea on all things Singapore theatre.
It's tea time! And today's episode is titled Sincerely Angelo.
Because we have the exclusive after-show interview with Singapore's newest star, Angelo Martinez, after his starring role in Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes, so don't move an inch as we're about to delve into his experience and find out what his debut performance has meant to him.
But for now, pop the kettle on,
grab a bicky,
and let's add a spoonful of theatre to sweeten up your day. Oh, Sam, we are back.
We're back, and you know what? We're a month old.
We are.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
You've not been a month old for a while.
You cheeky.
Anyways,
cow.
Now, while the kettle is boiling and our guest is on the way, I personally just want to say thank you for everyone for tuning in. As always, this podcast is growing, and it is only growing because you guys are apparently enjoying it, which you are telling us all, which is really wonderful. So I would just like to remind everyone that if you are listening, it really does help us in whatever streaming service you're listening to this on, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, Apple, whatever streaming service you found this on. While you're listening right now, look at your screen, press the subscribe button, press the follow button, whatever sort of button it is. Give it a click because it helps us get this podcast out to more people. So if you can just do that for us right now, thank you. Okay, and if you haven't followed us on Instagram, please do. We really appreciate it because we really want this to celebrate all of Singapore theatre, and it really is making an impact. So thank you all very much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, dear listeners. How you been, love?
I have been wonderful. I had a holiday.
Of course, you did. Yes. Where you been?
No, I went to Taipei. Had a lovely time in Taipei. Mm-hmm. And I also had a lovely few days in Koh Samui as well. Very lucky, very fortunate, nice and rested.
Oh, yes, you had a gorgeous hotel, didn't you?
Oh, it was beautiful. Well, the second hotel, but we're not going to get into that on the podcast. And I also, theatre land-wise, of course, we closed Dear Evan Hansen, but I also went to watch Mongol Khan, which we spoke about on the last episode. Mm. And I actually really enjoyed it.
Oh,
I didn't know what I was in for. But it was this beautiful ensemble theatre piece.
Yes.
And I'd just been teaching actually Greek theatre at school, which is, you know, all very ensemble heavy stuff. And although it's Mongolian, it was kind of had a lot of Greek theatre kind of pictures and stage pictures and ensemble work. Mm. And I loved it. So yeah, I did that. What have you been up to, Sam?
Not a lot really, but I'm still recovering from it, actually. I went to B-Way Rave.
Yes, the Broadway dance party.
Yes, a first in Singapore.
Yes.
So it was lovely to go to. And I have to give kudos and snaps to Rachel and Alicia.
Snaps. I just love the idea of you doing snaps. That's hilarious. snaps.
No, I have to give full credit to Rachel and Alicia and to the DJ, Dwayne, as well. I'll be honest, it was a little bit more rave than Broadway, if I'm honest. But there was I was very grateful that Somewhere Over the Rainbow came on.
You were in your element. And I think when we had the Broadway tunes, I think the entire room erupted. And
yes.
I think, I wish them all the best. And I hope it comes back because I had a great
really
time.
I really do. Because I tell you why. Because it was another space for the theatre kid, and I really looked forward to another one in the new year.
Absolutely. Well done the team behind Broadway Rave. Go follow them on IG and go support that because we loved it. Now, in other news, before we get to our interview, there was some quite big news actually this month from The Necessary Stage, who organised the M1 Fringe Festival. And it's not going to be the M1 Fringe Festival, unfortunately, not for much longer, because M1 have been title sponsor for that for many, many years. And they've pulled out.
Oh, dear.
Which is quite a big, substantial donation towards making that happen.
Right.
And the kind of producer hat coming on here, most things in Singapore, we can only put them on with sponsorship. You know, it's so expensive for the venues and the crew behind it and putting that on. So a title sponsor for anything such as the M1 Fringe Festival is a big deal when that changes. Mm. And finding title sponsors for anything right now is almost impossible. So they are in a bit of a predicament in future editions. I think they're sponsoring the next one, but the kind of future of the festival is a little bit up in the air. And I really hope that they find some supporters for that. But a shout out to all of our listeners. The M1 Fringe Festival is coming up next year, and I think we can all go and support it and share how important it is to the theatre landscape.
Oh, we'll be there. We'll be there. Absolutely.
Now our guest is almost here.
Oh, yes.
So I think it's time to tell everyone who our guest is for this episode.
It is. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Evan Hansen himself. It's Angelo Martinez.
Absolutely. We have Angelo with us, and we are hoping to pick his brains on everything about the show, how he got the role, how he felt during rehearsals, how the shows went for him, and also what next? What is he going to do after his debut role? What's he going to get up to after that?
Shall we find out?
I think we should find out.
Let's do it.
Sam, we are joined by our guest.
Hello, darling. How are you, sweetheart?
Hi, I'm so tired. Oh, but I'm good. Thank you so much for having
Angelo
me.
Angelo Martinez, you are in the ASOT studio. How have you been? How has the past 24 hours been?
Oh, it's been very, thankfully, very quiet.
well deserved.
sleeping the whole day. But it's great. It's great to finally just catch up and let my body rest. Mm. I think after the past 2 months. Oh my God, it's been 2 months.
Yes.
Oh God, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the look of realization that came into those eyes.
Oh my God.
It, as he said it, your eyes just went, wow. Yeah.
It's almost like it's, as I look back at it, I'm almost, did it just happen? Oh, that just happened. Right. Mm. Okay.
How many shows was it in those 33 shows?
Yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah, 33 shows. And the last weekend, of course, was a 4 show weekend.
Just to really like
so, just to nail
knock it
right
out
into the ground.
Knock it out the park.
My goodness, 33 shows.
That's crazy. And just for context, we are recording this on Tuesday, and the show closed on Sunday.
Yes,
And the show party closed on Monday, technically.
Yes,
right?
yes, Monday.
So we're really we're really less than 48 hours since you properly wrapped the show.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
And how's the come down sort of going? Is it, are you done? Are you, is it a process?
It hasn't been that kind of stark of a jump because I think my mind is still in the show.
Mm.
Yeah. But of course, at the end of the day, there's actually so much kind of like physical relief because of how demanding the role was. I can really feel the toll that it's taken on my body.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way?
I think I didn't realize how much sleep debt I have taken on. Especially because, you know, I mean, I think we all can agree here when you're doing theater and when you're doing shows, and the stress that comes from it. You don't have great night's sleep, you know, every night, right? Because your mind is still buzzing from the show or the rehearsals. And then after that, when you actually go and you finish the show and you close it and you're like, oh my God, my body's just, it's not there. Yeah. So I think I will probably still need like a month of holiday to actually.
Oh, I don't blame you, dear.
At least. Oh, yes. Holiday, massage, whatever you do to unwind.
Everything.
Oh my God.
I mean, we'll probably go into this a little bit more later on, talking about rehearsals and that entire process. But out of pure curiosity, because you've just brought it up, when would your days start and when would your days end?
It's a great question. I think my day starts usually, time-wise, around like maybe 10 or 11 a.m. Mm. Probably 10 a.m. because my body doesn't want to sleep after that.
Right.
So it sucks because even if I sleep at like 6, I'd only get 4 hours of sleep because my body just wakes up at 10.
Right.
And then I usually get to bed around 3 or 2. I have a very long wind-down routine.
A routine? There's something you do.
So the wind down routine is very long, and the warm up routine for the show and the rehearsals. Also very long. Mm. So literally it's, I wake up and it's show. And then I sleep, hoping to just rest for the next day. Mm. Yeah. So it's basically consumed me for 2 months.
Wow. Fascinating.
But, okay. Now, overall, in a word, how do you feel now? So it's consumed you for 2 months. Yeah. So looking back, I think one word is really hard, but I'm just going to challenge you to think about like what would be the headline of how the last 2 months has been? Like, how are you feeling at this point?
Right now? Yeah. Yeah, I think the word is definitely...
just...
Yeah, literally. The word is relief. Yes. Definitely. Mm-hmm. The word is relief. Yeah. There has been so much work put into it.
Yes.
For a long time, I had to start working on this show specifically since last year.
My goodness.
Yeah.
God, it goes back as far as then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My God.
So even like the mental prep for it, the decisions that I've had to make apart for the... I've given up a lot to do the show.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people, myself included, had no idea who you are.
No, perfect.
And
perfect. Exactly how we all wanted it to be. No, really, really, really.
And so, to you know, playing a lead role like that, you know, a massive role.
Yeah.
The audience is curious. Who is Angelo Martinez? So, where did it all begin, dear?
Are we talking about like when I was a kid?
Yes. Start there. If that's where it started.
Okay. I started singing very late in my life.
Really?
Yes. 16, 17.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, 16, 17 is when I started singing.
Right.
16, 17 is when I started listening to music.
Right.
Yeah, and starting to be like, oh, I like music. Because before that, I was a fine artist.
Oh,
yeah,
right. So I did a visual artist.
Yes, that's right. Marvelous. Yeah. So I did sculpture, I did painting and all.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And, that, and kind of that entire route. So that's what I did in SOTA.
Right, yeah. So you went to SOTA and for the arts program.
Yes, yes. And so I graduated in the visual arts course.
Was this IB or
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I did that. Only 16, 17, at around that time, that's when I realized, oh, okay, like I like music. And I started to sing around that time. And
was there a moment? Was there a... did you just end up in a K-box something?
No, I think the truth is... I wanted to boost my sex appeal, to be honest.
Fair enough.
No, no, for real. Like, I think, you know, that's around the time in which I was discovering myself. And I was like, you know what? You know, I want to, you know, I was like, I had a crush in school.
Oh.
I wanted to be like, you know, it's cooler to be this and that. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start like trying to be into like music and stuff like that. Maybe, you know, I could catch a girl's attention. Seriously.
How romantic. Yeah.
Okay. And did learning singing get the girl?
Oh, that is a good question. The answer is... yes.
Oh, there we go. No, there we go.
Would I be right to assume when you discovered music at this moment, I don't sense it being naturally musical theatre.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. So naturally, to woo the girl, you know, I assumed, yeah, you got to listen to like you know, smooth music. So I was like all R&B, all of those like hip hop and stuff like that, you know, because growing up, I also kind of was around family members that listened to that, and so it was really just lying in CDs around the house, Boys to Men, and all that, and I was like, okay, and then that was my first deep dive into music. I loved it, and then my introduction to musical theatre was also very late.
How late?
Like
the audition.
Oh, no. Just before.
You're joking.
No. Well, I mean, the lore is that even when I stepped into the audition room, I told Tracy and Adrian, Dear Evan Hansen is the only musical that I know.
Oh.
At the time, yes. So I came in being like, okay, I haven't done this before, and I don't know that much, but I love these songs, and that's why I turned up. Hi, my name is Angelo Martinez. I'm going to be singing these songs in front of you all.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's... Wow. I'm flabbergasted by that.
Yeah, I grew a pair. I really had to grow a big pair to show my face to them.
But you mentioned, like, Dear Evan Hansen is the only musical that you know.
Yes, at the time, yes.
What was your connection to that musical? How is it you knew that and not others?
Oh, that's a good question. I heard the song Fall Forever online.
Right.
First. Yeah, I chanced upon that song first, and I loved it.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I realized that, oh, okay, this is by Ben Platt, the guy that was in Pitch Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then I went down the rabbit hole of the soundtrack, and I was like, oh, wow, Words Fail is a nice song, too. Mm. Waving Through the Window is also really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just listened to all of the songs, and I just kept it at the back of my head. So that's why when they posted the audition notice in May, I was like, oh my gosh, they're bringing it here? I have to try.
And it was a big deal, wasn't it? The fact that Dear Evan Hansen is coming to Southeast Asia, it was a huge deal.
I almost couldn't get a slot. Yeah, I couldn't get a slot. The first time I tried, I couldn't get the form out. It crashed.
Oh my, oh.
Yeah, so
I had the Taylor Swift concert ticket.
But that is how popular it was. Like, yes. I remember it coming up because I was teaching at LaSalle at the time, and every single guy under the age of 30, and even some over the age of 30, wanted to audition for this role.
Yeah.
This is such an iconic role. But going back to what you were saying just a little bit before we get onto auditions, I think that's what's the beauty of this show, because it transcends musical theatre. And I think it is and I think that's why it's done so well in its production here, because people, especially I think people of like Gen Z generation and kind of around that, I'd say above and below that, really, really resonate with the music style. Like, you know, Pasek and Paul, the music is just so, it's got those R&B kind of vibes in there as well.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Ben Platt is very popular kind of from movies and things as well as vocally as well.
Yeah, so his tone is pretty iconic. So like, I hear him, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Ben Platt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's a show that does transcend that. So it doesn't surprise me that was one of the only musicals that reached out to you outside the musical theatre genre. Because when you're musical theatre people, we just assume everybody knows every musical. They do not. You know, actually, not everybody is like us and has musicals on Spotify every day. People actually listen to other artists.
Yes.
You know, there's people like Sabrina Carpenter and things that Sam has no idea who they are.
We'll talk about that later. Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Anyways, But yeah, I think that's so interesting, you know, that led to you just giving it a go. And I think that's such a big thing to walk into that audition room and give it a go.
Kudos. And kudos to you.
I think that leads us very nicely into the audition. So like,
mm-hmm.
So once you got secured that slot, like how was the day? How did it go? How did you feel? Like, what was it like?
So firstly, I learned actually post doing this show that people don't really come into the audition room singing songs from the musical that they are auditioning for. So I didn't know that.
Mm.
But then I was like, okay, they're going to want to hear, you know, that the people that they're auditioning for can hit the notes or whatnot and can tell the story. Mm. So I might as well just sing the songs, right? I mean, I like them. When I signed up in May, I didn't really know the songs fully. So I took 2 months to learn them, singing them literally every day. Every day to myself in the room, I dedicated an hour after work, after school. Okay, I'm going to learn this song. I'm going to sing it to how I think I can make it sound best. Because I'm not vocally trained as well. I just had to make it work, right? I just like, okay, I think this is how I can make it sound.
Wow.
So, total imposter syndrome. Total, like, I honestly, am I allowed to swear?
Go ahead.
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But you know, yeah. But but I just love the songs too much to not show up. Yeah.
And do you know what? Like, just hearing that it completely explains why you got the role on top of that.
Yes.
Like, I can tell you, like, having worked, you know, I do audition prep with people all the time. I audition all the time. And I can tell you that people don't put that much work into most auditions.
Yeah,
I wish they did. But majority of people, it's another audition in their cycle, and they will prep it really quickly or drag something out. And I guarantee that came through. I was not in your audition. Although we worked on the show together, I wasn't in the audition room.
Right.
And I guarantee that came across. So that passion and that hunger. And that works so much for Evan. Like, and that kind of almost naivety. Like,
yeah. Character-wise.
Is exactly what Evan is, right? You know? So I think that I'm sure that all their eyes just kind of lit up when they saw this hungry kid that they've never heard or seen before come in.
And to add to that, I couldn't make the first 2 days of... Okay, so the auditions process was so big, right, that they had 3 full days worth of auditions.
My
so
goodness.
They saw like hundreds, I think over 150 people.
Wow.
And I couldn't make the first 2 slots, right, on the first 2 days. So come back from the Philippines on the last day, I realized I can only make the last slot. So it's either the last slot I don't make, take it. So I remember my number was 110. And then I came into the room and I was like, okay, I'm the last person, thinking they've seen hundreds of people already. They're probably so tired. You know, they're probably not going to give this guy who doesn't know what he's doing, who just shows up at the end at their time of day. Total imposter syndrome. If you think about it, all the odds were against me. Yeah, that's literally what was going in my head. Yeah.
But you know what? I think this is a lesson for everyone that's listening. And it was really interesting. We put a post up on Instagram before you came asking questions.
Oh.
And the auditions were pretty much most of what people wanted to know. Because so many times we hear it in Singapore that people say, oh, the same people get cast over and over again. It's always the same people. And to be fair, from a producer hat, putting my old producer hat on, there is a reason for that, because they're people you trust and you know, and you know that they're going to deliver. In Singapore, it's so expensive to put on theater that you can't necessarily always take a risk. What I will give Pandemonium their credit for this is that open call was an open call. They were looking for anyone. It really was anyone. And to give a complete newbie the central role of the biggest musical in town for the year is a huge leap of faith.
It's a gamble.
And a gamble. It really is.
Yeah.
But it just shows that, you know, companies, and it's not just Pandemonium, actually other companies are doing it now. There are new faces coming throughout the Singapore theatre scene. But it is a credit to all the companies now that they are giving people chances in these roles. But I think especially in this one, it would have been so easy just to go, hey, we know that, I'm not going to say any names, but there's so many people that, you know, there's the regular people that we always see.
They might
not have been right into, they might have been a bit older looking, or, you know, it might not, you know, but I mean, Ben Platt played him when he's like, what, in his late 20s, like, you know, like, you know, but so they could have gone that route and gone with a more established one, but they took that risk with you and honestly, it paid off. It absolutely paid off. But that was great. So I just want to just really quick, so we kind of fast forward a little bit, I suppose, but rewinding back to the audition process. So you're there, you're 110.
Yeah.
You've sang your song.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it went well? Because everyone always judges themselves in auditions. Mm. Like, how did it go? How did you do what two months of practice was in that room? Did you do yourself proud?
I couldn't tell. I was so confused. Yeah. Because what happened, and I mean, this is... Here we're spilling the tea, right?
Yes, please.
So, this is my first audition, right, ever, especially in this space. So, you're supposed to come in and the standard, I think, is 32 bars of a song. So, I came in and I came in wanting to do the first 32 bars of Four Forever, right? I did it. And then they were like, can you please do the whole song? And I was like,
oh.
And they're like, do you know the whole song? I was like, Yeah, I do. At the back of my head, Angelo, fuck you, of course you do. You tried this for 2 months. You have, you know, just, yeah. And then I was like, okay, yeah, I can do the whole song. I did the whole song. And they were just quiet for like a few seconds.
Out of interest, just to set the scene in my head here, how many people are you doing this in front of?
Oh, okay. So this was in front of Tracy, Adrian, Tim, and...
Joanne on keys?
Joanne, yep. Yes, and Joanne, who was playing keys.
And was this in a theater? Was this in a studio space?
Was in the Pandemonium rehearsal studio.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So I've got the image in my head now. Okay.
Yep. So I put my stuff down and then I sang the full song in front of them. I finish it and they don't say anything. They just look at me. And then I look back at them and I'm like, now what? They like look at each other and they're like, do you have another song? And I was like, I do. It's Waving Through a Window. And then they looked at me and they're like, yeah. And then they said, can you do the whole song of that too? And then I was like, yeah, okay. And I did it.
Oh, but these are all good signs. Like, was your heart a flutter? Like,
Yeah, I was telling them. I think literally it was caught on. I'm sure they film all the auditions, but I was telling this straight to the camera. I couldn't feel my hands. And the next time I had this exact same feeling was during rehearsals of the show when we ran through Act One for the very first time.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was that exact same feeling when I couldn't feel my hands, having done all those. All the big numbers back to back.
Mm.
Yeah, man. So I do those songs and then they just ask me to step outside and wait for a blue slip or a red slip. That's all.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I will add some tea here. That was the first time that's ever been done. And it was quite there was different opinions, but yes, it was a bit like Britain's Got Talent or an X Factor,
yeah.
Blue or a red slip. So it's the first time it's ever been done.
Okay. So this is not usually
no
the process.
Not the red and the slips was a new thing. So it did get it did get quite the conversation starter within the performer community.
Right.
Afterwards. However, you know, I suppose you know there and then, like, there's no waiting. It's like, and actually being on a panel, you pretty much do know there and then. And, you know, as in, I know if I'm going to want to see you again pretty much 20 seconds after you've opened your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I usually know when you walk in the room, as in like just how you're holding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a big giveaway for me when I'm on a panel. But especially once you've started singing, I pretty much know. Because, you know, you hear singers all the time, you work with singers all the time. I know if you're going to hit those notes later, I can hear it in your voice. Yes.
Which we talked a lot about when we were working together.
Exactly.
You can hit that. Oh, no. Just
do this
and go.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. So I think you really do know straight away. But you know, there were people that didn't get those recalls that, you know, were expecting to. Not necessarily expecting to, but you maybe thought, oh, they might have a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. And you know, I think that's a big lesson about auditions. It's not necessarily, you know, you don't know what the director wants. You don't know what the production company wants. Even though you might have a vision of the show in your head that you think I'm perfect for it, you might not be, you know. Or, you know, and it's, even if you're a seasoned actor, an Angelo could walk in and take the role. I joke about that, but that's true. You know, like at the end of the day.
History of any production, whether it be movie, TV or theatre, is dotted with those examples. I can't think of one coming to mind at the moment. But there are plenty of examples of nobody's debuts and absolutely stealing the show. And then they become a household name.
You did your first round. You got the slip.
Yeah.
You got the slip.
Which colour?
The positive one.
Yeah.
Which one's the positive one?
The promising one. The good one. The blue one.
Yes, we got the blue slip. And then recalls, right?
Yes.
And many recalls, I believe, for you.
Oh,
right?
Yes. It was like, I think...
Same day.
No. But the first one was the next day.
The next day.
Yes.
My goodness.
Literally.
So you got the blue slip.
Yep.
And a load of recalls.
Yes.
Over a number of days. So when did...
Over a number of weeks.
Over a number of weeks.
Yes, yes.
So you mentioned earlier this was last year.
This was last year, yes.
When last year?
This was July last year.
So this is close to 18 months ago.
Yeah.
So how many weeks until you got the call?
That I was offered the role?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I remember this scene like it was yesterday. So the final call happened, I think it was first week of August.
Right.
It was around there. And what happened was they had a group recall, and some of my castmates were there as well. So Rebecca was there, Ethel was there. Yeah, and we sang Good For You. I remember that. And then they asked the other cast members to, I mean, all the other applicants to be dismissed. And then they got me to sing Words Fail for the first time. So I sang that. After I sang Words Fail, I had to wait, which I remembered was one of the longest waits of my entire life. I was like, it felt like 3 years. It was more like 15 minutes. Yeah. And then they invited me to their office. And I still remember it was the four of them, Agent Tracy, Tim, and Joanne. And they all looked at me and was like, what are you doing next year, October?
Yeah. Oh, that's marvelous.
That was
And what was your immediate reaction?
I can skip school for this. That was literally what I thought. The first thing I said to them was, are you sure?
Oh, you're modest.
No, really. The first thing I said was, are you sure? Because this was the same kind of conversation that I had after singing For Forever in front of them was for the first time. They looked at me and was like, have you done theatre before? Mm. And I was like, no, never. But I watch movies. And then they're like, okay, so no acting experience, no, have you taken a course? And I was like, no, but I have friends who do theatre.
So by proxy,
my neighbour does theatre. I said the same thing. I mentioned to you in the rehearsal, I mean in the audition room, I've never done this before. And they're like, we know. But if you want to take this seriously, we would like to offer you the role.
Oh my God.
For Evan. And then I was like, then the next thing I said after that was, this is, the imposter syndrome is really, really, really kicking in, guys. And that same feeling, I think, still kind of sticks with me today.
Mm.
Yeah, it hasn't really left.
Mm.
Yeah. I've just learned how to take it in my stride when I put in the work and show my face in front of 600 people a night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, 30 in the rehearsal room because that's also super daunting at the beginning of the process.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that leads us nicely. So we've you get the role, you take it all in and you say yes. Then obviously there's a big gap. You've got the year, and as you said, there was preparation.
Yeah.
You were preparing through the whole year, and I know you've had like sessions and things before that. Let's fast forward to rehearsals.
Mm.
So let's summarize the rehearsals. So how were rehearsals for you? What were the surprises? What were the because I was there for most of it, so I saw it, but but like, how was it for you? How was that process?
The hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I was pushed to my limits, I think, in every facet of myself.
Mm.
Yeah, because I mean, Tracy said it very kind of succinctly. She said, you're basically doing what an actor goes through like in like 3 years of drama school and like shows and trying things out in 5 weeks. So you're gonna have to just suck it up and follow through and commit to the journey. So that was the one thing I could lean on, was that no matter what, right, if I had a terrible day in rehearsals today, I trust that when I come back to the room tomorrow, I'm going to give it my all again.
Mm.
And I'm going to carry that same spirit I had when I tried to audition. Mm. And that is to just make it work.
Mm, mm, mm.
Yeah. The only difference is I am surrounded by a bunch of experienced, talented people that can support and show love. And that was probably the only thing that was allowing me to survive the past 5 weeks. Yeah.
I me and TJ have been in a number of jobs and things like that, and the people do make it. The people that you with, they can make or break a job. I would say that for any job. I mean, I don't, other than my cruise ships days.
Finally on the cruise ships.
I don't come from a performing background, but
it was on the cruise ship. Just Angela's looking very confused. Huh? Why you just blew a horn?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the cruise ship bell.
Yes.
Okay.
Before I came to Singapore, I worked on cruise ships.
Oh, okay.
And. I think for any job,
it's the people that you work with that can make or break it. So that's wonderful. Yeah. And you could see it on stage. You could really see it on stage, how well you all gel together.
It was honestly, in rehearsals, it was beautiful. It's such a beautiful cast. And the process was delicious. It was lovely. Like, I think not every show like is as beautiful as that. Like, it really, everyone
it really it, no it really really came together.
Yeah
And I think that even in the tough moments, it was really nice that that they weren't ignored. There was so much love and tenderness to kind of embrace how hard and difficult it was to tell the story. But then there were certain, you know, moments whereby we could laugh about it, you know, and keep things light. And that's why I think I really owe it to some of the cast members to really just make it a lot more bearable. Because Dear Evan Hansen is so heavy.
Yep. Oh.
And it never gets easier to tell. Even if you're familiar with the show already, it's still as hard to do, or hard to watch.
About that, because with the questions we had on Instagram today, a couple asked this with the rehearsal period and playing him, and obviously the preparation as well. As you say, it was the first musical you knew. As you went deeper into Evan, was there a favorite part of Evan?
Yeah. Actually, I think it's the first thing is I really like Evan's humor. I think he's hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's so understated. Usually everyone goes, "Oh no, Jared's, you know, the comic relief. He's the one I'll go to for a good laugh." But Evan's humor is actually very sharp.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And the reasons as to why so many of the scenes give you a good laugh is because Evan is there to help you kind of like, you know, make you smile. Just like, he's so witty, you know, and that wittiness also translates to when he's fighting with people, you know, and things get super heavy, you know, and he's actually just so aware of his surroundings, of his feelings, and he's just such a sayang boy lah, you know, sayang boy 17-year-old, and I just And I think the other thing about Evan that I really like is that it's so ironic to say this, but it's his honesty. So, you know, you know what I mean? Yeah.
The whole show is about him lying.
Yeah, but you know, like in all the scenes, I think in trying to kind of tell Evan's story and to put him to life on stage, the way he reacts and shows his body and stuff, it's so honest. The way he tries to help, or the way he tries to talk to people, it's so rooted in honesty. He's not trying to be a different person. He's just scared to be himself. You know,
yes.
Yeah, and it's so honestly real.
And I think that's why a lot of Gen Z's and generations above and below identify with that. Identity can be quite hard.
Yeah.
It can be quite hard discovering it and being authentic. Now, the rehearsals leads into
the show.
What was going through your head, nerves, pressure when it came to tech, to opening, to it finally coming together and being put in front of, as you say, 600 people for 33 shows?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I had to lean on was that I had to trust the rehearsal period. You know, I had to trust the work that we put in, and the decisions that we've all made to make the show and the experience of the show what it was. You know, Tracy mentioned it very, very nicely. When we start shows, the only difference is that we have a new player in the room, and that's the audience, right? So we can imagine them as like a fourth character.
Oh, how beautifully put. I love that. Yeah. How beautifully put.
Like a new character in the show. And it just adds kind of new, adds like a new layer of awareness of how we then not just react to each other on stage, but how we'd hear how audiences react to our decisions on stage. You know, making Evan a bit, you know, angrier in these scenes and making him a bit funnier in these scenes. Yeah. But I think that the pressure definitely got a lot more palpable during the opening weekend. I think the reality of having to do the run several times over like 4 to 5 days was very, very scary. You know, so like even coming in and doing the preview on a 7 p.m. show, but having done a full run before that, you know, and we can't let our foot off the brakes. You know, we always have to keep on committing to the journey, you know, and the journey is never lighter. Is that's what's so scary, you know. And then that's why I never found Saturdays to be any easier, because we do it twice. And then gala night was on the...
I also know that you're someone who likes the evening, as in like you the warm up.
Yeah,
like
the warm, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then I'm warmed up by 7:30 p.m. Yeah, yeah. But then, you know, I still have to do the 2:30 p.m. show and commit to that fully, you know. Yeah.
And you did. So. I watched a few matinees. You nailed it still, so don't worry. Like, but I think that's a real interesting point, though, that actually opening weekend is way heavier than you even think it is, because I mean, you know, you have the pressure of, you know, first audience, that new member of the cast that suddenly enters, that you don't know. You genuinely don't know. Anyone that watches it
and changes.
Yeah, anyone that watches it before is getting paid to be there. Yes. You know, so any reactions, you know, people are laughing and they understand the script and they probably read it 50 times before they come to the room. So you don't actually have a live audience's reaction to your version of the show until they come on that preview night.
Yep.
So, you know, it's daunting for everyone, you know, and that first night, I'm sure it was a surprise. You're like, oh, you're laughing here. Like, excuse me, I was in a moment. Yes. Like, excuse me. Yes, and you're having to slow it down and speed it up. And that's a skill, you know, it's a skill that you kind of, and
I have to learn on the job, on the fly,
and so that's like a whole new thing on top of all those other things you had on that opening weekend. You have this whole other skill of like, I need to slow this down, I need to give you space to laugh and cry with me, and you know, breathe with you. And I'm sure that got easier over time as you went over
it. Like, definitely. I think it's two things. One is I definitely got a lot more comfortable with the character and the journey he goes through. And secondly, it's getting more comfortable with the stage. I was telling this to Tracy the other day. After doing like a number of shows, I can finally feel my feet on the ground, especially doing like the big numbers. I can feel myself walk, you know, and cross the stage with and feeling my body moving. And it really gives me a surge of confidence to just grab the song by the balls, because it's they are very difficult songs.
if you don't mind me just doing a going off on a tangent, because you mentioned it a couple of times, you seem somebody that's very connected to their body. Like you mentioned about not feeling, being able to feel your hands, and then just then not feeling the ground you're walking on. Is that something about you? You must feel the connection through your body.
Actually, my response to this is actually in 2 points. The first thing is that I have health anxiety. So I am very, very aware of how my body feels. So any kind of slight sensation or difference, I will definitely take notice. And the second thing is, which leads into very nicely to it, when I was working with TJ on doing the songs, it was very natural for me to kind of pick up the idea of having to use more of your body to nail the songs. I think that's kind of the difference in which, you know, you kind of understand it from a technical viewpoint and not just kind of making it work. Because when I make it work, I just always use my throat. Or like I use my, you know, just I pick up pieces of my body and I just try to make the sound. Right. But then kind of like working with TJ, I was like, oh, okay, you can actually use your body to make things easier for yourself.
You've trained him well, dear.
No, but I actually, you know, I do just want to say, like I said this to you as well, but I will say it publicly. You are a sponge. You absorb every note, and not only absorb, but you understand, you take on, and you apply. And I was genuinely, I watched it on the last weekend. I was crying, not only because of the show. I was just like a proud.
Oh, I love you.
I was going to say a proud dad, but I'm definitely not. Like, proud big brother. Okay. Proud big brother. Because genuinely, like, the process you've gone on to put that up, I know how much you've put in this. You've seen it. And I feel it, and the audience feel it. And you should be so proud of what you've done, genuinely.
Appreciate it, really.
Like, could you hear the audience crying?
Oh, now that's another question. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. But it depends on how hard I'm crying. Oh. So there are specific points in the show that I can start to feel and sense them crying. And it's definitely towards the tail end, of course.
Yes.
Of the
yes, show. Yes, yes, yes.
But there are times in which I'm surprised when I hear from, you know, the directors in the house, I hear from other people in the audience whereby they tell me that there are criers as early as before You Will Be Found.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And those I can't hear. Mm-hmm. You know? Those if any sniffles in the house during those times, I really cannot hear it.
Mm-hmm. There's a sniffler behind us. God, he wouldn't stop.
it was so funny to me that first show. I remember again, you know, because as creative, you're sat there and you don't know what everyone's going to react.
Yeah,
like.
You don't.
But you did Words Fail, and there was tears.
This was
preview. I remember this very vividly on preview. There was some sniffles after Words Fail for sure. And then we went in. It's kind of that double whammy in the show, right? You get Words Fail, and then it goes into So Big, So Small.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And oh my gosh, in that moment when the tree is coming up and then the lights are coming up on the audience because it's so bright.
Yeah.
All you get is, and then you get grown men like pretending, and then suddenly this light is coming on them from the projector, and they're all trying to pretend like they're not crying, but everybody is like sniffling around. And it was just a sea of sniffles, because also the band is quite quiet at that point as well. So you just hear these sniffles everywhere.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. The band
and then
quiet.
The light's coming up on you, and it's just like, yes, you're all crying now.
Yes.
It's like the big reveal.
Yeah.
So I am where we're now that, you know, the show is closed, and you know, we've gone through all of that. Are you proud of your journey? How are you feeling now?
Yeah. 100%.
Oh, you should be.
Like I said, I gave up a lot for this show. Mm. Even in like the most like basic technical ways. Like I've gave up alcohol for the show. I changed my diet completely for this show, you know. And this was like a year and a half of commitment. So I told y'all that day I'm at the closing party. The first drink I have is me tasting alcohol after like 1.5 years.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, yeah. So I mean, I really gave up a lot for this show, and I
wow, such discipline. Wow.
I was a monk. I really was a monk for the 2 months. I just rehearsed, and I came home and I slept. Same with, even more so with the shows. Yeah.
The irony that he only got into singing to be a sex god, and then he was a monk when he actually got a role that required him to sing.
There is an irony. That's a good one.
Well, you're back now, my friend.
I do wonder, because you know, a lot of performers are thinking of the next job. They're thinking of the next paycheck.
Mm.
Has that happened to you, or are you still you're thinking? No, I want to deflate at the moment. I want to just chill, and then I'll think about what next.
Oh, is it? That's a great, great question. The one thing that I put on hold for this is making my own music. So that's the next thing I'm hungry to do again. Yeah, it's too. So I have a bunch of demos that I put on pause. And I'm going to be going to make that. That's going to be my project for the next few months.
What genre?
And then, R&B.
Oh, it's R&B.
Same
right.
thing, yeah. So I'm
but I hope this committed. Is not the last we've heard of Angelo Martinez, the actor.
On the stage?
Yes.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I mean, I've thought about it. Playing Evan is very difficult. Mm. So I'd love to do a comedy. I'd love to do something that's super light and doing something funny.
Mm. But the world's your oyster, dear. With Dear Evan Hansen on your CV.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
Fabulous.
I love it. Like, we really have our Singaporean Ben Platt. You know, Ben Platt did an album straight after Dear Evan
Hansen. Oh, did he? Yeah. Did he do that?
Have you heard
I mean, that? I've listened to Honeymine, but I didn't know that he...
I think it's after Dear Evan Hansen. I don't know if it's straight after, but it's definitely...
It's that.
We've got our Singaporean Ben
Jing,
Platt.
Jing, Jing.
Nice.
And I think what a wonderful addition to our Singapore... art scene we have.
Appreciate it.
And I know we will be following your career very, very closely, and I'm sure everyone that's listening will be as well. And we'll all be buying your album on Spotify.
Oh, please. So, come to the launch.
Yes. We will be there. Please. We will be there. And
do you know what? It's when you said we'll be buying your album on Spotify, in my head I had a CD and Angelo signing it, but then I think we're not in 2002 anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Sam.
can I talk about signing for a second? In previews, there were a lot of super fans of the show that came. And I felt, like I mentioned, that the imposter syndrome kind of like carried me from the start all the way to now, because it's so weird coming down from the stage door and people are like, can you sign my, I'm like, why? Like, why?
Oh, yeah. You're so humble.
I know exactly who was there on that opening night, and they listened to the podcast, and it was Nick and all the crew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from our open mic. Oh, so those were the crazy fans. Those were the crazy fans on opening night.
Love to them, so then. Love to them.
But people are so excited. Like, and I think people were so excited and are so excited. You know, it's so lovely that there's something even more special about it, that your specific journey into Dear Evan Hansen, and the fact that we found a local performer with your journey and everything we've just talked through over the the rest of this podcast, I think it makes it even more special.
Yes, I agree. You know, I think
and it made it special on the show as well. Yes, and I think all the audiences, and from us as well, everyone, very proud of you for your journey.
Oh,
and
yes,
really, wish really you all it. The best for whatever you do next, and we'll be there supporting and waving and cheering along the way. So how can people follow you, Mr. Angelo? How do we follow this journey? Sell your music to us.
Oh yeah, I mean, you can find me at Now It's Angelo on Instagram. Fabulous. Yeah.
Fabulous.
I mean, if you search Angelo on Spotify, I have some of my old songs there. So there's that. You know, it's they're all like lullabies, to be honest. So you can listen to them if you want to fall asleep.
Then your demos that you're going to be doing soon?
That will come out 2025 for sure.
Fabulous.
For sure.
Great.
Fabulous. And yeah, we'll see if there, you know, if there are other kind of theatre shows, you know, to audition for. Maybe you'll see a new boy in the room.
Well done. Thank you so much for coming, my darling. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Well done you. Seriously. Well done you.
Appreciate Thank you, it. Angelo. We will see you soon. I loved that.
I was not expecting that story. I really wasn't. I was expecting, oh yes, I was at LaSalle for 3 years and he said it himself, he has balls of titanium. And such dedication.
Yeah.
And it paid off.
Absolutely.
So well done to Angelo.
And I think I mean this in a very loving way. It's such a great example of an underdog story.
Yes.
You know, really, truly, like, star search, like, found him from pretty much nowhere.
Yes.
To then go ahead and do what he did is just incredible. What? And such a nice person as well.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, such a lovely boy and so dedicated.
Yes. And, I mean, if you could sum up, and I hope this is a fair thing to say, the entire Dear Evan Hansen enterprise, in Singapore,
Starship Enterprise,
but the entire enterprise itself has been one big risk.
Yes,
and I mean that in a very positive way, as in it's the first edition of it in Southeast Asia. Yep. It's you said it's the first one they were allowed to change aspects.
Redesign it.
A risk with an unknown actor, a risk with not having understudies, and it's paid off beautifully.
Yeah.
And yes, and so what a way to for all the cast and all the crew and all the production. I hope they're all just on cloud nine and very proud of themselves of what they've achieved, especially Angelo.
Yeah.
Especially
Angelo. And I think everyone listening to this and anyone anywhere near the Singapore theatre scene should be proud that the Singapore theatre scene is established enough now and has the local skills and talent to be put on such a show to rival any West End show, you know, honestly, really.
Yes.
Well done to everyone.
Now, talking about shows in Singapore,
it's time for our Hot Sips. This is our Spoonful of Theatre show recommendations of what to watch in November and December.
Yes, we're moving into the holiday season, meaning it's panto time, starting with Wild Rice's The Wizard of Oz, a local adaptation written by Alfian Sat and Elaine Chan, directed by Ivan, and starring an all-star local cast. Looking forward to this one as it performs at Ni An Kongsi Theatre at Funan. Tickets available from Sistic, playing from the 14th of November to the 21st of December.
Absolutely. And over at Marina Bay Sands in the Sands Theatre, we have the blockbuster musical Six finally making its way to the shores. Sam's history nerd is blowing up. It's produced by Base Entertainment with an overseas cast coming in. I think they're from the UK, if I'm not wrong. It's going to be a fabulous show. I love this show. I saw the original over in London. Please go catch that. It's playing from the 14th of November to Sunday, 1st of December. Tickets are also on Sistic.
Sticking in the right time period, a bit of William Shakespeare's coming to town. Hubble, bubble, toil and trouble indeed. Yes, I'm talking about ABA production and Action to the Word UK's edition of Macbeth, as the award-winning ensemble use their unique flair of physical storytelling. They promise to give a striking retelling of the famous Scottish play.
Yes,
playing at the Victoria Theatre from the 21st of November to the 24th of November. Tickets available on Sistic.
Coming back to some local theatre, we have Dream Academy with the Dim Sum Dollies. Ooh. The classic Dim Sum Dollies. They are back with a brand new show called The History of Singapore, 60 Sexy Years.
Oh my word.
Ooh, we love that. So the Dim Sum Dollies will be joined on stage by a massive cast of dancers and singers. Also, Hosan Leong is in there. And there's also some sexy boys promising me to make history sexy.
Ooh,
very interesting. So go and check that out. It's at the Capitol Theatre from the 12th of December to the 21st of December. Tickets on Sistic.
And not forgetting Sightline's Red, an Artful Murder, an experiential murder mystery, playing until the 1st of December. Tickets available on Sistic. Now, that's what's happening in Theatreland. TJ, is there anything else going on in Singapore?
Yes, so some quick mentions. Apart from our hot sips, we have a few festivals coming up as well. The French Film Festival is on. I watched a beautiful music ensemble the other day down at the Alliance Française. So there's lots and lots of films on at the French Film Festival. The Singapore International Film Festival is also on. So movie buffs are all out there. And, of course, the Voices Festival, which is one of our favourite festivals.
Yes, it is.
The whole year is on at the Esplanade. So go check those out. But of all the movies that's coming out, there is a big one coming
out. There is a big one.
I'm sure anyone listening to the podcast probably already knows Wicked.
It's
part one. I've got something to say about this. I'm very upset that it's in two parts, but I will watch it first to see. So Wicked now, Part 1 is coming out very soon.
It's funny you should say that. Not going into too much detail. I'm actually glad it is two parts because...
I don't want to wait another year for Part 2.
That's the fun. I mean, if you were a Star Wars fan, you would understand the anticipation is a good thing.
This is one story that you can watch in one time in the theatre. Cool. Okay, but there's a little taster of our opinions. we will be going to the cinema to review that
on
a Spill the Tea very soon. So stay tuned, that'll be coming your way very shortly.
And love, if I remember rightly, it's just 40 odd days until Christmas.
It is, it's very soon. So that means the holidays are coming, Sam. We've
yes.
got school holidays, two teachers here, very ready for our school holidays.
Very, very ready.
I think as a teacher, you're always just counting down the days to
yes,
the next holiday.
Yes.
We love our jobs, but we also love the holidays too. So we've got Christmas coming up, and also some other things to tell you about. So we will both be hosting at the Singathon for Sing Theatre, so do tune into that. It's on the first weekend of December on the Sunday. 12 hours non-stop singing, and we'll be hosting all those amazing artists. We've been doing it for many years, haven't
we? Yes, can't wait. It's our fifth year doing this, and we've always raised tens of thousands of dollars going to an amazing cause. It's one of my highlights of the year. And really, really looking forward to doing that. And of course, you mentioning the Voices Festival, we're going to be there as well. Yes, we're going to be doing a special open mic night. And I always look forward to these because I think, we're on the Esplanade, dear.
We are. And it's in the Annex Theatre as well, which is really amazing. So we'll be performing in the Annex, which is great.
If you want to take part in that, you must register. The tickets are free, but go onto the Voices website, the Voices socials, and register your ticket for the Voices Festival open mic night with myself, with TJ, and...
Joanne Ho.
Joanne on the Ho. Keys, yes. Yes, look forward to that. I love it when Joanne joins us for
the
open
MD
mic.
Of Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
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 Absolutely.
But anyway, love, my tea's gone cold.
Yeah, I think it's time to wrap up. So thank you so much for tuning in. Do remember, if you've liked this episode, to like us on all the socials and follow us on whatever podcast streaming service you are listening on. And we will bring you more juicy tea from the Singapore theatre scene.
So it's cheerio. We'll be back soon.
And a ta-ra from me.
And to anyone working in Singapore theatre for November and December,
break a leg.